John and Blanche Bickerson, the typical American married couple of the 1940s. Problem is, it wasn't that far from the truth at all. That's our focus on this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie. In 1945, a radio writer and producer named Philip Rapp took a listen to the domestic situation comedies then popular on radio and noticed that married life was not ever portrayed as he knew it to be. So he set out to create his not particularly rosy picture of American matrimony, and it turned out to be one of the more endearing hits of the post-World War II radio in the United States, The Bickersons. Starting as a sketch on the Chase and Sanborn Hour, the main characters were John Bickerson, played by Don Ameche, and his wife Blanche, played by Frances Langford. When the couple were spun off onto their own series, Danny Thomas joined the cast as Blanche's freeloading brother, Amos Badger. There were seven basic facts to recall about the situation John and Blanche were always in. 1. John and Blanche Bickerson are very much married. For all the acidic elements of their relationship, it always remains within the bounds of love and mutual respect. 2. John works hard and likes to sleep. 3. John snores. Blanche listens. 4. Blanche, not unreasonably, likes to talk to John. 5. John likes bourbon. 6. Blanche suspects John also likes a certain neighbor named Gloria Gooseby. 7. Somehow or other, Amos weasels into their life at the most inopportune times. The following sketches were heard on NBC Radio in the first half of 1947 on a series called Dream Time. The show's fans never forgot them. Decades later, my father would repeatedly say to me, "That Don Ameche must have been a hell of an actor. No man could possibly be that annoyed with Frances Langford for that long."
And now Don Ameche and Frances Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson with Danny Thomas as Brother Amos in The Honeymoon Is Over. The Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson dozes in fits and starts as husband John, cursed with the rarest type of insomnia in the annals of medical history, fights another losing battle during an acute stage of his chronic malady. Listen.
Oh, not again. John, cut it off.
Cut it out, Blanche.
Stop that foolish giggling. What's the matter with you?
What's the matter, Blanche?
You're giggling like a girl at her first party. What are you dreaming about?
Party girl.
What?
What? What'd you say, Blanche?
I'm just not going to stand for it. One of us is going to have to sleep in the kitchen.
Take the blanket with you.
I'm not moving. If you're going to snore your head off and giggle all night, get out of the bedroom.
Blanche, why don't you leave me alone?
I'll bet I haven't had 10 minutes sleep all night. And then I had a terrible dream.
That's too bad.
If I have a dream again that you kissed Gloria Gooseby, I'll never speak to you again as long as I live. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh. What?
In front of a whole room full of people, too.
Blanche, have you gone crazy?
Don't try to get out of it. Everybody saw you.
Nobody saw me. You dreamed it.
That's a pretty poor excuse, John Bickerson.
I don't have to make any excuse. I didn't do anything. Can I help it if you dream I kissed Gloria Gooseby? Can she help it?
I noticed she didn't try to stop you.
She never tries to stop me. I wouldn't kiss Gloria Gooseby if she were the last woman on earth. I hate Gloria Gooseby. Now, are you satisfied?
Maybe I am, but you're going to have to explain to her husband, Leo.
Explain what?
There would have been an awful fight. Lucky for you, I woke up just as he came in.
What are you going to do with a woman like that? You better see a psychiatrist, Blanche.
That's right. Try and make me believe I'm crazy. Have me put away in an institution. Lock me in a padded cell.
Nobody's going to lock you in a padded cell.
Let me spend the rest of my life in a restraining sheet. Nobody to talk to, always alone.
Blanche!
Why don't you come and visit me, John?
You're putting on this act to ruin my night's sleep. You've succeeded.
My brother Amos warned me about marrying you.
Amos.
Believe me, I'm finding out plenty now. The things you said when I first met you. Such promises. Before you married me, you told me you were well off.
I was, but I didn't know it. Good night, Blanche.
We barely have enough to eat. Everybody makes a good salary except you. Why don't you get a paying job?
Oh, now, don't go maligning my job. It pays fine.
The minute I ask you for an extra few dollars, you jump down my throat.
Listen, last month you went to the doctor three times. You got fitted for new glasses. You had two teeth pulled. $70 for your own private pleasure. You think I'm made of money?
You're the one who wastes it. You throw it away on silly things.
I deny myself everything. I save every nickel I can. How do I throw money away?
Didn't you pay $22 for that fire extinguisher?
Well, certainly.
We've had it a whole year and never used it once.
I'll set fire to the house in the morning.
Why don't you return it and get your money back?
Okay, I'll take it back tomorrow.
You say it, but you won't do it. Take it back to the store now.
What?
Go on, get up and take the fire extinguisher back.
Blanche, you must be out of your mind. It's 2:30 in the morning.
Wake the man up. He has no business selling it to you in the first place.
Blanche, as sure as you're born, if I take that fire extinguisher back, the house will burn down.
I wish it would. I hate this pest hole. My pantry is overrun with ants.
Ants in your pantry.
You talk about wasting money. We could have had that lovely bungalow in Westwood if you hadn't insisted on buying an automobile.
Oh, a man's got to have an automobile.
But that bungalow is only a stone's throw from the bus line.
Got no time to throw stones at buses. Blanche, all I want to do is sleep.
Sure, sleep your life away. That's the trouble with you. You have no initiative. Look at Mel Shaw. He came to California 6 years ago without a dime in his pocket. He borrowed a basket from a hardware store and peddled little statues from door to door. What do you suppose he's worth today?
Nothing, and he still owes for the basket. Blanche, it's almost 3:00.
Amos has the right idea. He's in politics now. He's running for assemblyman in the 5th ward.
He couldn't run for dog catcher.
I'll bet he'll be elected. You'll see. He's a good politician.
What do you know about politics? You've never even voted in your life.
I did yesterday. 8 times.
8 times?
Amos showed me how. It's so simple. All you have to do is use a different name each time. We copied them off tombstones.
A political ghoul. Now, you stay out of that racket. Do you hear me, Blanche?
I think it's a wonderful business. You ought to go into politics, John. There's a fortune in it. I read only yesterday where some senator was put in jail for grafting $100,000. Why don't you do it?
Go to jail for grafting?
No, be a senator or something. Maybe you and Amos could be the next governors of Georgia.
Now I know what they mean by strange bedfellows. Why don't you let me sleep, Blanche? You know we're going to have to be up late tomorrow night.
What for?
What for? Have you forgotten it's my boss's silver wedding anniversary?
Heavens, is tomorrow Monday?
Yes, tomorrow's Monday.
I'll have to put you have your blue suit pressed.
It's a formal dinner. I'm wearing my new tuxedo.
It won't be here until Tuesday.
It's here now.
No, it isn't.
It is, too. I looked in the closet yesterday.
Did you look today?
I don't have to. Tuxedos can't walk away.
I'll let Amos borrow it.
That's fine. You what?
I lent your tuxedo to Amos. He's making a campaign speech tomorrow night at the garbage men's ball.
You didn't dare give that no-good tramp my new tuxedo.
Don't you call my brother a tramp.
Now, look,
you've got
Blanche.
A lot of nerve, John Biggerson, to take such an attitude towards a man who's putting himself out in order to make life easier for his constituents.
Blanche!
It's a formal affair, and you can't expect him to attend in a business suit.
But it's all right for me to go to a formal affair in my overalls, huh?
Now, don't get hysterical.
Oh, why do you do this to me? I saved for 6 months to get that tuxedo. I gave up my lunches. Oh, my money. My $100 bill.
What's the matter with
you? Oh, this is the end. I had a $100 bill in the breast pocket.
Where'd you get it?
Everybody at the office chipped in to buy the boss a present. I was holding the money. Blanche, if Amos finds it, I'll never get it back.
Maybe he won't find it. Go to sleep.
Go to sleep? I'll be branded a thief. He'll never believe me. I can't call him up. He'll suspect something fishy. He probably found the money. Maybe he didn't. I'll wait up all night. Can't sleep now anyway.
Never sleep another wink as... Oh.
Hello, hello. The phone's dead. It's leaking.
Put down that bottle of bourbon, silly.
Oh. Maybe it came. Maybe found the... Oh, no. Oh, put the lights on.
The lights are on. You're in the closet.
Oh. Hello?
Jacko, this is Amos.
I think he found it. Hello, Amos. Are you dressed?
Why would I be dressed at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I figured maybe you were making a campaign speech. How's my tuxedo? Does it fit?
Sure, it fits fine. I had the pants shortened a little.
Uh-huh. I don't think he found it.
Oh, it's a swell tuxedo, Jocko. A nice, roomy pocket.
He found it.
In the pants.
He didn't find it. Did you try on the coat, Amos?
No, I left it at the tailor's. I'm having it let out a little.
What's the tailor's name? Quick.
What do you want to know for?
It's the wrong coat. They gave me the wrong coat. I'll take it back and send you the right one.
Oh, it's the right coat, all right, Jocko.
It is, huh? You found it.
What are you mumbling about?
Nothing. How's the pockets in the coat? Are they roomy?
They hold enough, I guess. Oh, the reason I call is to tell you I won't be needing a tuxedo after all.
Oh, you won't, huh?
No, I'm giving up politics. I found an easier way to pick up some dough.
That settles it. He's got my $100.
What?
I was talking to Blanche. I'll pick up the suit in the morning.
Okay, Jocko. Good night.
Drop dead. Now what do I do? I don't know whether Chislett found the money or not. Won't be able to sleep.
Oh, go to sleep, John. He didn't find the money.
Oh, how do you know, Blanche?
Because I went through the pockets before I gave him the tuxedo.
Honestly, to Blanche?
Of course I did.
Oh, thank heaven. You've got the $100.
No, I haven't. I bought a new evening gown with it.
Oh.
Good night, John.
The Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson lies rigid but awake in the darkness as poor husband John, victim of an obscure type of insomnia that prevents other people from sleeping, exhibits the telltale symptoms of his dread affliction. Listen.
It may be funny to him, but it's not to me. John. John. Cut it out.
Cut it out, Blanche.
I'll lose my mind if you don't stop that giggling. What's the matter with you?
What's the matter, Blanche?
You sound like a tickled schoolgirl. What are you dreaming of?
Tickling schoolgirls.
John.
What? What? What'd you say, Blanche?
I simply won't stand it another night. Living in this house is becoming unbearable.
Let's move.
John, I swear I'm at my wit's end. How long do you think a person can go without sleep?
I've been doing it for 5 years.
John Bickerson, we've been married for 5 years.
Amazing coincidence. Good night.
Don't you good night me, you big sleeping pill. Why don't you have some consideration for me?
Well, what do you want me to do, Blanche?
When you were sick last year, did I say that? Didn't I sit up all hours of the night nursing you? Didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And what was my reward?
I got sicker.
Sure, you can afford to be sarcastic now. You feel fine.
I want to sleep. It's 2 o'clock, Blanche.
You don't remember how I catered to you every minute. When the doctor said not to let you have anything cold, didn't I give you all the ice water you wanted?
You sure did. Almost killed me.
That's gratitude. Well, I didn't expect anything else from you. You don't love me, do you, John?
Oh, of course I do. Just because I don't say it every 5 minutes doesn't mean that I don't love you.
Tell the truth, John. If anything happened to me, would you marry again?
Never, never again.
Well, you don't have to sound so vehement.
Well, if I said it any softer, you'd say I didn't sound convincing. I don't know, Blanche. I just wish you'd let me sleep.
I keep thinking how nice it was before we were married.
Mm-hmm.
You were so different then. You used to plead with me for a little kiss. Now you don't even think of it. Why?
A mouse in a trap loses his taste for cheese.
Very funny. Oh, you're so funny, John Bickerson.
Well, I'm tired, and I have to get up early tomorrow.
You just won't understand, will you? There are none so blind as those who will not see.
Yeah?
The one time I expected you to break down and offer me comfort, and you fail me.
What?
It's all right. I'll struggle through it alone. It won't be long, and when the time arrives, I don't even want to see you near me.
What are you talking about?
I'll go to the hospital by myself. You can sleep right through it.
Blanche! Blanche, are you...
Hasn't Dr. Marvin told you, John?
Nobody told me. What is it?
I'm going to have my tonsils out.
Your tonsils? What do you need to have your tonsils out for? You never have sore throats. Your tonsils never bothered you before. You never even knew you had tonsils.
Dr. Marvin said it would help my disposition.
Have them out, by all means.
I don't think I will, after all.
Okay, don't. Good night.
The only reason I was going to do it is because I thought I'd get a good night's sleep.
Okay, do it.
Why should I suffer through an operation? You're the one who keeps me awake. Why don't you do it?
Do what?
Have your tonsils out.
Okay, I'll have them out next week.
You say it, but you won't do it. Have them out now.
What?
Go on, get up and call Dr. Marvin. Let him pull your tonsils out.
Blanche, are you insane? It's 2:30 in the morning.
The hospital stays open all night. Go on, let him pull your tonsils out.
I haven't got any tonsils. I had them out when I was 9.
Well, you need some new ones by now. Let him put some in.
Oh, this is awful. You're deliberately trying to keep me awake. You know I have to get up early and go to work.
Oh, don't make your job sound so important. If you take a day off, nothing will happen.
No, nothing will happen except I lose a day's pay. I need all the money I can get. I've got to make a payment on the car tomorrow.
Where will you get that?
I've got it. There's $84 locked in the desk drawer.
60.
It's 84. I looked yesterday.
You didn't look today. There's only 60.
What happened to the other $24?
Don't look at me, John.
Blanche, there are only two people who have a key to that drawer. You and I, and there's $24 missing.
Well, we'll each put back $12 and say no more about it.
How do you like that? Blanche, what did you do with that $24?
I spent it. I bought some perfume.
Perfume? $24 worth? How could you carry that much?
Don't be silly. It was only a 1/2-ounce bottle, and I got it wholesale. It's the newest thing. Very daring. It's called Perhaps.
Perhaps. For $24, they should give you positively. Well, I can't understand. Understand why you throw my money away on junk like that.
It isn't junk and you like it.
How do you know?
Because it's the same kind Gloria Gooseby uses.
I hate Gloria Gooseby.
Well, you're always sniffing around her.
Now, don't you start with that woman.
You're the one who started it.
I'd like to spend one night in this bedroom without Gloria Gooseby. Just one night.
She just douses herself with that perfume. That's how she catches all the men, the hussy.
She's not a hussy and she doesn't need perfume to catch me. I mean, I can't stand the sight of Gloria Gooseby.
But you like the way she smells.
I hate the way she smells. I don't see how Leo can live with her, and I wish they both dropped dead. Now, either let me go to sleep, or I won't go to work in the morning.
Don't go to work. See if I care. You'd have lost the day's pay anyway if I hadn't torn up that summons.
What summons?
For you to serve on a jury.
Why, you can't tear those things up. If I get a jury notice, I have to report.
Why?
Why? Because that's the law. You can't tear up any court order.
I tore up the traffic citation.
What traffic citation?
The traffic citation they gave me to go to court in front of the jury that you were supposed to serve on, but I tore up the notice.
Oh, Blanche, you'll have us both in jail.
Well, that's where my brother Amos is.
Amos? What has he got to do with this?
Well, I was taking a driving lesson.
Oh, Blanche, no. Not my new car. It's never been out of the garage.
Well, it's out now. I took a driving lesson and paid the instructor $5 an hour. And
who was the instructor? It was Amos, wasn't it? It was. I know it was Amos.
I never even took the wheel. Amos was driving, and we suddenly saw this other car careening toward us at 100 miles an hour.
Yes.
Amos didn't have much time, but by an amazing piece of quick thinking, he managed to meet him head on.
Oh.
It's a funny thing. Nobody got hurt. Not even the policeman.
What policeman?
In the other car.
Now look, Blanche.
Amos started to bawl them out about driving in the wrong lane, and they had some silly excuse about a police car having the right of way.
Blanche.
And then Amos got mad and hit one of the cops with a wrench.
Blanche, where is my car?
It's on Hill Street between 5th and 8th.
5th and 8th? That's three blocks apart.
That's where the car is. About three blocks apart. Or it was. They took some of it away to the police pound.
Some of it? Well, I don't care. I'm insured. I'm just happy they got that Amos in jail.
They can't do anything to him.
Oh, they can't, huh? That's reckless driving and resisting an officer. They can wrap him up good.
They can't do a thing about his driving, and you know it, John.
Why not?
Because he doesn't have a license.
Oh, that's different. They'll only add another 5 years. I hope they give him life.
John, why do you despise my poor brother so?
Because I hate him. And don't you dare ask me to help him, Blanche.
Well, the least you can do is help me. I have to go to court, too.
Well, it serves you right.
Go on, testify against me. Get me locked up in jail.
Oh, nobody's going to lock you up in jail.
Let them put me on bread and water. You won't feel so good when I walk that last mile when they slit my pants leg.
Blanche!
Why don't you get me a reprieve, John?
Oh, stop it! They're not going to do anything to you. Now go to sleep.
Go to sleep, he tells me. My poor brother's in jail. My own husband's going to testify against me. Go to sleep. How can I sleep? I'll never... How can he be so heartless?
Hello. Where's the phone, Blanche?
I've got it. Hello?
Blanche, this is Amos. I'm still in jail.
Wait, Amos. I'll get John. Talk to him, John.
Sure. Hello?
Jocko?
Drop dead.
Oh, listen, you got to come down and spring me. This is the first call they let me make.
Drop dead.
Don't be sore, Jocko. I'm in an awful jam. I'm in a tank here with 50 other bums.
Drop dead.
But I got money enough to pay for all the damage. I think I even got enough for the bail bond. Get me out, will you, Jocko?
Drop dead.
I swear I'll pay you. I got plenty of dough. I started a crab game here and won over
$400. Dropped $400?
Amos, are you loaded?
No, but the dice were. Hey, come down and spring me, will you, Jocko?
Well, I'm going to think about it, Amos. Right now, I'll leave you with two words.
Yeah, well, what's that?
Drop dead!
Now I can sleep.
Please, John, dear, get my brother out of jail.
Well, I'll think about it.
I'll do anything for you, John. Please bail him out.
Pour me a shot of bourbon, Blanche.
Are you sure you wouldn't like a double shot, dear?
Just a single. Thanks. Ah, wonderful stuff.
I promise I'll never wake you up again, darling.
And will you forget all about Gloria Gooseby?
Forever. Just get Amos out of that nasty jail.
Well, we can't do anything about it until morning anyway. In the meantime, I think I'll get a good night's sleep.
Certainly, dear. Are you comfortable?
Perfect. Just perfect.
Snore to me, John.
The Bickersons have retired. 3 o'clock in the morning finds Mrs. Bickerson wide awake and anxious as poor husband John, victim of a progressive insomnia or Farclay's syndrome, a condition which causes the patient to awaken abruptly every 2 or 3 days, gives audible proof of his dread affliction. Listen.
I've uncovered his feet. He keeps right on. They say if you whistle in a monotone, maybe that'll work.
Blanche! Blanche, wake up!
What's the matter?
Turn over your side. You're whistling.
I know I'm whistling. It's the only way I can stop you from snoring.
Oh, it's just your imagination. I never snore. Go to sleep.
John! Don't take it too lightly, John Dickerson. It's habits like that that wrecks more homes than drinking.
It doesn't wreck my drinking.
Nothing could wreck your drinking. Is it any wonder we can't afford even the bare necessities of life when you squander every penny on that stuff?
I never squander anything.
I was cleaning up yesterday and I found an empty bourbon bottle in the laundry hamper.
What about it?
I found another empty bottle under the icebox and two more empty bottles in the chandelier. That's where your money goes, isn't it?
It is not. I never bought an empty bottle in my life.
I worked like a slave to save a dollar. Never a word of gratitude. I spend half my life cooking your meals, and what do I get for it? Nothing.
You're lucky. I get indigestion.
That's right. Complain about my cooking.
Oh, I eat everything you give me.
You didn't touch the rhubarb pie I made.
Well, it didn't look good.
What was the matter with it?
Who ever heard of a pie 2 feet long?
Well, I couldn't get any shorter rhubarb.
I hate rhubarb anyway. I hate all desserts, and you know it. Why don't you quit wasting your time making them?
The minute I stop making desserts, you'll start asking for them. I know you, John. You're just the most contrary
Blanche,
person that ever...
Blanche, will you please stop talking?
No.
Why not?
Because if I stop talking, I'll fall asleep, and then you'll start snoring and get me up, so the only way I can get any sleep at all is to stay awake all night.
Now, go figure that one out.
Besides, I'm too sick to sleep.
Uh-oh.
I don't think I'll live through the night. I'm in such terrible pain.
What's the matter now?
I've got neuralgia or something. The pain starts in my temple and goes down my face, and it jabs like a needle. Then I get dizzy, and I feel as though I'm going to fade away.
You say it, but you won't do it.
Why don't you do something for me and end my misery? I told you I'm dying.
Okay, put on the light.
The lights are on. Take off your sleep shade.
Oh. Where do you keep your stockings?
Stockings? What do you want my stockings for?
You want me to end your misery, don't you? Give me a stocking.
John, you're going to strangle me.
Oh, I'm not going to strangle you.
Then what do you want my stocking for?
I'm going to soak it in bourbon. It's the finest remedy in the world.
John Dickerson, you're not going to tie any bourbon-soaked stocking around my face.
You don't tie it, you chew it slowly. You start at the toe and gradually work your way up to the top.
Is that supposed to put me to sleep?
No, but it'll make it a pleasure to stay awake. Now, where's the bourbon?
I don't want it. I don't want you trying out those insane remedies on me.
All right, then, suffer. Put out the light.
How can anybody be so unfeeling?
Well, I'm sleepy, and it's after 3 o'clock. You won't let me help you. You just want to keep me awake, don't you? Why don't you admit it?
I'm sick.
Well, chew a stocking.
You wouldn't tell Gloria Gooseby to chew a stocking.
Oh, now, don't start with Gloria Gooseby.
Believe me, that woman knows how to get sympathy and attention.
Blanche, can't I spend one day of my life without Gloria Gooseby?
Is that where you've been spending your days?
I forbid you to ever mention that woman's name again as long as you live. Do you hear me? And you know where I am every minute of my life.
What time did you get in tonight?
I got in at 2 o'clock. I went to a bachelor dinner given for your broken-down brother Amos, who's going to get married tomorrow. We went all through this when I got home, didn't we?
You didn't tell me what happened at the bachelor dinner.
Nothing happened. Just a lot of men smoking and swapping stories.
No women?
No women.
How'd you get the lipstick on your collar?
It isn't lipstick, it's blood. I cut myself shaving tonight.
You didn't shave tonight.
Well, then I cut it yesterday.
You put on a clean shirt before you left. How'd the blood get on that?
I'm a slow bleeder. Well, what are you driving at, Blanche?
Don't act so innocent. I know all about these bachelor dinners. Don't tell me there were only bachelors there.
There were all married men and only one bachelor, your brother Amos.
No women?
No women.
Hmm.
If you knew all about bachelor's dinners, why didn't you make a party for them right here in your own house?
Because I'm not entertaining this season.
You're never entertaining.
Maybe I'm not. Not as much as those dancers at bachelor dinners.
Nobody danced! All we did was give a word of advice to a young man about to get married.
What was your word of advice?
Don't.
Sure. That's just like you to discourage my poor brother before he gets married. He's got a lovely girl and he's a wonderful boy.
Oh,
They'll
wonderful.
Get along beautifully. What right did you have to discourage him?
Oh, I didn't discourage him. Everybody kidded him.
You hate being married, don't you?
No, I don't hate it.
Well, you don't like it.
I wouldn't say that.
Why not, John?
It'll only start another argument.
Why don't you let me sleep, Blanche? I have to get up so early in the morning.
We'd be much happier if you'd talk to me more. Ugh. Mel Shaw tells Louise everything that happened.
Well, what of it? I tell you lots of things that never happen at all.
You never convinced me. You just sat around tonight smoking and telling stories.
I swear that's all there was to it, Blanche. Except after the speeches were over, Amos awarded a high silk hat to any man who could get up and say he never kissed any woman except his wife since they were married. Mel Shaw won it.
Why didn't you stand up?
Oh, Blanche, you know I look like the devil in a high hat.
I don't know, John. You're certainly not the same man I married.
Don't tell me there's a loophole.
See, that's exactly what I mean. No matter how I try to be soft and pleasant to you, you'll always say some sarcastic remark and start an argument again.
Well, I'm just sleepy.
When we were engaged, you were never sleepy. All you wanted to do was hold my hand and stare at me. You said I was on your mind every minute of the day and night. You couldn't think of anything but me.
Well, I married you, didn't I?
What for?
So I could forget you.
That's no lie. Here you are running off every night to smokers and back to the dinners. Leave me here all alone with no friends.
Oh, I never leave you alone.
Let me spend the rest of my days in solitude, growing old and feeble, nobody to give me any food and no strength to walk to the kitchen.
Blanche!
Why don't you get me a wheelchair, John?
Why don't you stop getting hysterical and set aside of 10 seconds you made yourself 90 years old? You're just trying to start something again.
Nothing would ever start if you didn't snore like a steamboat.
Well, can I help it if I snore?
Yes, you can.
Oh.
Dr. Marvin says you snore on account of your windpipe.
Yes.
You have a flaccid trachea. And when you inhale, it flutters. Why don't you let him fix it?
Okay, I'll have it fixed next week.
You say it, but you won't do it. Let him fix it now.
What?
Go on, get up and let Dr. Marvin pull out your trachea.
Are you out of your mind? Do you think I'm going to let that butcher bore holes in my throat?
He doesn't bore, he just inflates it with a needle.
I don't care if he blows it up with a bicycle pump. Nobody's going to fool around with my trachea. I never heard of such a thing.
Well, go sleep in the kitchen.
All right, I'll go sleep in the kitchen.
And on your way, I want you to send a wire to Amos and tell him marriage is good for him.
Now, wait a minute, Blanche.
I'm warning you, John. If you don't wire Amos this minute, I'll get my
things. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. I swear you can think of more things to keep... Oh, no, my knee. Oh, put on the light.
The lights are on. Take off your sleep chain.
Sending wires at 4 o'clock in the morning to... Hello, Western Union. I want to send a wire to Amos Badger. Carry United Nations Pool Hall. Yes, that's where he lives.
Make it a nice telegram.
Say, dear Amos, congratulations on your forthcoming marriage. You're doing the wise and sensible thing, and life will take on a new meaning for you. I only hope that you and your bride will be as happy as Blanche and I have been. I heartily recommend the serious step you're about to take. Just a minute. You want to add anything, Blanche? Blanche? Hello? Say, P.S. Blanche just fell asleep. Stay single, you idiot. Signed, John. Goodbye.
Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson writhes in sympathetic anguish at 2 o'clock in the morning as poor husband John, victim of contagious insomnia or Schmoe's disease, broadcasts the telltale symptoms during the crucial stage of the dread ailment. Listen.
Out in a regular pattern. Now you'll get amused. Oh, no, John. John, why aren't you laughing? John, wake up. You should be giggling. gurgling and you're crying. What's the matter with you?
What's the matter, Blanche?
You're not snoring like you usually do.
Mm-hmm.
I was just getting used to your whining and giggling, but now you start crying and it throws me off completely.
What are you talking about?
You've got to stop it, John. I've never been so sick in all my life, and you won't let me get a minute's sleep. I don't feel well.
What hurts you, Blanche?
Everything hurts me. Call Dr. Marvin.
You don't need Dr. Marvin. I'll take care of you. Tell me where it hurts.
It's those clams we had tonight. I didn't want to eat them, but you kept insisting. You kept telling me clams are healthy.
Well, clams are healthy.
They are not.
They are, too. Did you ever hear one complain? I ate more than you did, and I feel perfectly horrible. I mean, fine. Where does it hurt you?
I think I'm poisoned. My whole body aches, and I've got a terrible shooting pain between my shoulder blades.
Well, lie still, and I'll fry you some cucumbers and hot root beer.
Fry cucumbers and hot root beer?
Make a new man of you.
You just want to finish me off, that's all.
Oh, Blanche, I'm only going to make a poultice out of it. It draws out the pain. It's a new medical discovery.
What's the matter with an old-fashioned mustard plaster?
Okay, I'll fix you an old-fashioned mustard plaster. Where's the bourbon?
Bourbon? What's that for?
To soak the mustard plaster.
John Bickerson.
Don't worry, I'll stretch the mustard off first. Where's the bottle?
I'm not going to stick any bourbon-soaked plaster on my back.
You don't stick it on your back. You hold it over your mouth and squeeze it. Put on the light.
I will not. I don't want you to touch me.
I'll bet you're not sick at all. You just thought this pain up to keep me awake. Why don't you leave me alone?
I can just hear you saying that to Gloria Goosby.
Why should I say that to Gloria Goosby?
Why, indeed. If you were married to Gloria Goosby, she wouldn't stand for any of your nonsense.
I'm not married to her, and she stands for a lot more of my nonsense than you do. I mean, why do I care what she stands for? I despise Gloria Goosby, and you know it.
Then why does she keep staring at you like she's hypnotized?
She doesn't stare. It's just that she wears those outlandish dresses, and they bring out her eyes.
They bring yours out, too.
Now, look, lad. Let's make a pact never to mention that woman's name again as long as we live.
Well, I keep thinking there's something between you.
I swear, I don't know she's alive.
She doesn't mean more to you than I do?
She means even less to me than you do.
I don't like the way that sounded.
Well, don't go looking for hidden meanings. Now, if you're really sick, I'll do anything you want to make you feel better. Now, if you feel okay, all I ask is that you let me have a few hours sleep. Now, get there.
No, I did have a little headache before, but now I've lost it.
It isn't lost. I've got it. Every morning when I go to work, I'm bleary-eyed, and I stumble around the office in a stupor. I don't know how much longer my boss is going to stand for.
Why do you stumble around, John?
Well, because I don't get enough sleep. I'm completely debilitated. And only last week, I failed to pass the insurance examination.
Was it the same examination you had before?
Well, certainly.
Then why didn't you copy the answers off of the old policy?
Not answers they want. They give you a medical checkup. And apparently I'm not such an ideal physical specimen.
I think you're wonderful. You've got the nicest legs of any man I ever saw.
In the meantime, I don't think I'm long for this world.
Am I responsible for it, John?
No.
I am, too. I know I am. John, can I talk to you?
Sure. Go ahead and talk.
I've been thinking about how we quarrel all the time, and I'm sure we love each other as much as any other married couple, and I know they must have their little arguments, maybe more than... John! You said I could talk to you.
Well, am I stopping you?
I want you to listen.
Okay.
I didn't know your health was bad, and I'm worried. If anything happened to you, I'd blame myself for not taking the proper precautions. Well, you know what I think?
What do you think?
I think you ought to make out a will.
Make out a will? I thought you were worried about me.
Well, you don't want to leave me at the mercy of all those grasping relatives of yours, do you? The minute you drop dead...
Don't talk like that! Can't you say passed on or something like that?
Well, you always say drop dead.
Oh, and that's only when I'm talking to your brother Amos. You should be a little more delicate when you're discussing wills.
Why?
Well, because you make it sound like I'm going to go any minute.
Well, they don't give you 2 weeks' notice, you know. You just told me you couldn't get any more insurance.
Oh, I can get all the insurance I want.
I don't care. You should make out a will just the same.
Okay, I'll make it out tomorrow.
You say it, but you won't do it. Get up and do it now.
What?
Go on, and get up and make out a will.
Well, you're out of your mind. In the first place, a will isn't legal unless you have two witnesses. And in the second place, I haven't got anything to leave in the first place. Unless you're thinking of that phony stock your thieving brother sold me.
What phony stock?
Those 500 shares of Kentucky Saltpeters. They're not worth the paper they're written on. Nobody's going to take anything, and I don't need a will.
You're the most stubborn man that ever lived, John.
Why? Why am I stubborn?
It's the hardest thing in the world to make you admit I'm right when you know I'm wrong.
There's a woman's logic for you. Suppose I do make out a will and nobody can touch anything except you. Okay. So now you got all my worldly goods. First thing you know, you get over your grief and marry a guy without a dollar to his name. Like that broken-down snore specialist, Dr. Marvin.
Oh, I'm not going to marry anybody.
He'll give up his practice and he'll take you for every penny. My hard-earned money. The little possessions I slave for. He'll drive my brand-new car. Drink my bourbon. Loaf around like a prince.
John!
Why don't you make the bum get a job, Blanche?
For heaven's sake, John, what's got into you?
Well, why did you start all this talk about wills?
Well, I'll tell you. Amos just got a job as a notary public.
Amos.
And he gets $2 for every seal he puts on a will.
I knew he was at the bottom of it, that chiseling grafter.
There's nothing wrong with my brother Amos.
No.
You're just jealous because he thinks up ways to make a living without working.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is a little brain.
Nobody's got littler brains than Amos. He's the cause of 90% of our fight.
Oh, go to sleep.
Go to sleep, she tells me. Practically talks me into a funeral. Gets a brother to steal my will. Keeps me up half the night with Gloria Goosey and Clam. Now she tells me, go to sleep. Can't sleep. Never sleep another wink. Hello. The phone's dead. It's leaking.
Put down that bottle of bourbon. I'll get the phone. I wonder who's calling it. Oh, my leg. Put the lights on.
The lights are on. Take off my sleep shade.
Oh. Hello.
Blanche, this is Amos.
What do you want, Amos?
Hey, did you talk him into it?
No, and I'm not going to try anymore.
What are you talking about? Everybody's got to have a will. I drew mine up today. I left everything I have in the world to Jarko.
John.
Yeah?
Amos said he drew up his will today and left everything he has in the world to you.
Tell him I don't want her.
Amos, John says he's very pleased.
Fine, and you know one good thing deserves another.
Sure, I'll talk to him tomorrow.
It's very important to have a will, Blanche. You know, there's a big case going on right now, and all the relatives are fighting over the dough because a rich old lady didn't file a will.
Really?
Yes, she had $100,000 in cash and hid it in the bustle of her wedding dress. Hey, tell Jocko.
John.
Yeah?
An old lady died, and they found $100,000 in her bustle.
That's a lot of money to leave behind.
He says that.
Never mind. I heard him. I'll bring my notary seal around tomorrow, Blanche.
You better wait till I call you. Good night, Amos. Oh, dear. John. John. I've got that shooting pain between my shoulder blades again.
Oh, let's have a look.
Right here. It must be arthritis or neuralgia. It sticks me like a knife. What is it, John?
It's the price tag on your nightgown. Here.
No wonder my back was hurting.
Holy smoke, $48.50. Is that what that nightgown cost?
Yes, I just bought it this morning.
Whoa!
What's the matter, John?
Now my back is hurting. Good night, Blanche.
The Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson tosses restlessly, while her husband, John, victim of an obscure type of insomnia which manifests itself in constant and instantaneous sleep, exhibits the following symptoms of the dread disease. Listen.
Well, I'm just not going to stand it another minute. John! John! Sit up! Come on, sit right straight upright. Take off that sleep shade.
What's the matter, Blanche?
You're making me a nervous wreck with that snoring.
Oh, it's just your imagination. I never snore.
John Bickerson, how you can have the audacity to... John! John! If you weren't snoring just then, what were you doing?
Well, how do I know, Blanche? I was sleeping.
Well, that kind of sleep is no good for you.
Well, I love it.
It doesn't leave you rested. I hope you haven't forgot that you start work at a new job tomorrow morning.
Mm.
Your last one, you gave up because you weren't wide awake.
Blanche, I didn't give up my old job. You quit for me.
It's a good thing I did. You weren't making enough anyway.
Well, the new job pays less.
I know, but the hours are longer.
What kind of reasoning do you call that?
Well, there's more time to advance yourself. You'd do a lot better, John, if you patterned yourself after my brother Amos.
I hate your brother Amos.
At least he's a go-getter.
Well, then why doesn't he go get a job?
He doesn't need to. Amos is a shrewd businessman. He can get things from people.
Sure, he got plenty from me, all right.
You're just jealous. He makes good everywhere he goes. Even in the Army, he worked himself up to a field marshal.
He worked himself up to a buck private.
You know very well we got word that they made him a field marshal.
He was a private and he was court-martialed, not field marshal.
Well, what's the difference? Court-martial, field marshal. Did you set the alarm clock?
Yes, I set the alarm clock.
What time did you set it for?
Hmm.
I wanted you to give yourself plenty of time. And from now on, you're going to eat breakfast with me before you leave.
Okay.
When you get it ready, just call me downstairs.
Get what ready?
Breakfast. It won't hurt you to prepare breakfast for both of us. Leo Goosby does it all the time. He brings it to Gloria on a tray.
Blanche, why don't you let me sleep?
Well, I like that. I don't let you sleep.
You can say that again.
It's your own snoring that wakes me up and makes me wake you to stop it so you can get enough sleep so you won't be tired from sleeping the way you do.
You can't say that again. Right, you can.
Well, don't mix me up. I'm the one who never sleeps. I'm worried right now for fear you won't get up in time to go to work.
I'll get up in time. I can dress fast.
Your shirts aren't back from the laundry.
Well, then I'll wear the one I wore today.
You will not. You wear a clean one if you have to wash and iron it yourself.
Okay.
You say it now, but you won't do it.
I will.
You'd better do it now. Get up and wash your shirt.
What?
Go on, get up and wash your shirt.
Blanche, are you out of your mind? It's almost 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, by the time you get through with the shirt, you can start making breakfast.
I never heard of such a thing. You know how I have to wrestle myself to sleep, and when I finally do, you lie there just waiting to wake me up like some jungle-prowling alligator.
Alligators don't prowl in the jungle.
Well, why do I care?
You'd wash your shirt quick enough if you were going to see Gloria Gooseby.
I don't need a shirt to see Gloria Gooseby.
I believe that.
Now, don't you start trapping me into saying things again.
With that kind of bait, you'd be trapped every time, brother.
Oh, Gloria Gooseby. I wish I'd never seen the woman in my life.
So do I. You're not the same person you used to be, John.
What's the matter now?
Whenever you're alone with me, you just sit and mope.
I don't mope at all.
I'll bet you're sorry you married me.
I am not.
You never say you're happy.
Well, I feel very happy.
Well, then why don't you say it?
I'm the happiest man in the world. Now, are you satisfied?
No, there's something missing, John. All our friends have such fun. With their children, I mean. The Goosebys have a baby. The Flafters have a baby. And yesterday, the Marvins had a baby. Everybody has a baby.
Blanche, it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Such a beautiful little thing. Weighed 8.5 pounds.
That's wonderful.
They haven't decided on a name yet. I wonder if I could think of... I've got it. John. John. Mm. Wake up. I thought of a good name.
Go to sleep. I thought of a bad one.
I'll phone them in the morning. Did you pull the stopper out of the alarm clock?
Mm-hmm.
Did you set it for 6?
7.
That won't give you enough time. You have to be at work by 9.
Plenty of time. I can leave here at 8:15.
There's no train after 7.
I don't need a train. I'm driving.
I'm afraid you'll have to take the train.
I'm taking my car.
It isn't here.
It is, too. It's in the garage.
No, it isn't. I lent it to Amos.
Well, then I'll... You what?
I lent your car to Amos. He wanted to go to the race.
Blanche, no. No, you couldn't. Not my car.
Don't get so excited. He promised to bring it back Tuesday.
Tuesday? It's a new car. He can't drive. He hasn't got a license. Why did you do that?
Well, he wanted to go to the racetrack, and he'd have to get up so early if he took the train.
But it's all right for me to take a train, huh? It's all right for me to go without sleep.
And I'm going to work, not the racetrack.
Well, Amos has a chance of making a lot more money than you.
Now, look, Blanche.
Maybe you wouldn't have to go to work either if you'd get friendlier with Amos.
Now, Blanche.
He meets the right kind of people and always manages to figure out some money-making scheme, and he's bound to be a millionaire.
Then why does he keep borrowing from me?
If you're foolish enough to lend him things, you shouldn't complain. Go to sleep.
Go to sleep, she tells me. Sleep. I waited 4 years for that car. Never even had my hands on the wheel. And she gives it to that irresponsible maniac. Tomorrow morning, I'll have the pleasure of opening my garage door and not finding my beautiful car.
You won't find the garage door either.
Why not?
Amos knocked it off as he was backing out.
Oh!
The garage is too narrow anyway. Go to sleep, John.
Oh, what are you going to do with a woman like that? This is too much. The car is too narrow. Never be able to sleep again as long as I...
John, get up.
Okay. Feels like I didn't sleep at all. How do you shut this darn thing off? Where's the stopper?
Put down the alarm clock. It's the phone.
Oh, I knew it couldn't be the alarm because I just... Oh! Put the lights on.
The lights are on. You've got the pillowcase on your head.
Oh. Where am I? Hello.
Yakko, this is Amos.
Drop dead! No, wait, Amos.
Yeah?
Where are you? Where's my car?
Can you stand the shock, Yakko?
No.
Hey, you know that $1,000 you lent me? Well, I went to the track and I got to worrying about it, see? So I made a few bets for you. I got $300 for you.
Honest? You won that much?
Oh, no, I lost.
But the $300.
Well, I was so worried about losing that I ran your car into a truck. I sold it on the spot to a junk man.
Oh, Amos, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, I'll bring you the money in the morning. So long, Jocko.
Amos, it's the end of the world. Turn out the lights, Blanche. I'm weak. Let me get back in bed. Why should one man have so much trouble? Out! Oh, right in the mouth. Oh.
John, did you hurt yourself?
What's the difference? I was going to have these two teeth pulled in. Good night, Blanche.
Don Ameche and Francis Langford as the Bickersons. That concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Doll Shoe Radio Creations, copyright 2005. Produced in the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. I hope that you'll join us again at this same time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.